fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. The only person you need in the morning other than your spouse. Here's Jeff Blair.
Yeah. You feel it, baby?
He has been the Blue Jays' most consistent hitter from the start of the season. Surely a leading candidate for comeback player of the year, providing people are prepared to move beyond his suspension for PED use. And after Melky Cabrera's two-homer night at Fenway Park, it is understandable that more and more people are agitating for the Blue Jays to re-sign him. Now, look, I've received no small amount of grief on Twitter for saying I think Cabrera's gone after the year. It has nothing to do with wanting him out of town. I just think that in a depressed free agent outfield market is going to get much, much more than the $8 million he's making this year. And as far as we know, there have been no serious discussions with Melky's agents. A different case than when Edwin Encarnacion was signed to an extension at the All-Star break. I've been clear for months. If it's up to me, I'm re-signing Melky for the same reason the Raptors re-signed Kyle Lowry. If you can't take a leap of faith with a guy like Cabrera, what's the point of the whole exercise? Of course there's an element of risk. There's an element of risk in every long-term contract. Now, it's possible that Alex Anthopoulos has done some quiet work and believes he can get a deal done in the offseason. It's also possible that Anthopoulos realizes he's going to need some financial room to cover Jose Reyes' $6 million pay raise and add the everyday infielder his team needs, as well as taking a run at free agent closer Casey Jansen. Either way, Melky Cabrera has resurrected his career and is carrying the Blue Jays with him. In a perfect world, he's already signed an extension. Today's question, then, after a 14-1 thumping of the Boston Red Sox, how worried are you that the Blue Jays will not be able to re-sign Melky Cabrera?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
Yeah, I can get behind anything.
All right, we'll have a lot of baseball talk ahead in the show. Jeff Passan, the national baseball writer for Yahoo Sports, will join us at 10 o'clock. We will talk to Jeff about the Danny Valencia deal. The Jays, of course, acquiring Valencia for Liam Hendricks and Eric Kratz. A move to be made today to make room for Valencia on the roster. And no, Danny Valencia is not a blockbuster acquisition, but he is a guy that gives the Jays a little extra right-handed bat and has got a pretty good average against lefties this year. I mean, folks, he essentially replaces Mark DeRosa. That's what he does. He is not going to be the guy that puts you over the top in the pennant race, but he gives John Gibbons a wholly useful option. And as we've seen during this recent run, as we wait for Edwin Encarnacion and Adam Lind and Brett Laurie to get healthy again, it's all about maximizing the opportunities for matchups. John Gibbons has played the matchup game tremendously well since the All-Star break. This gives him another option. Jerry Howarth is the voice of the Blue Jays in Sportsnet 590. The Fan, he had the call of the game last night with Joe Siddall, a 14-1 win. He'll have the call of the game tonight when Marcus Stroman and Ruby De La Rosa go at it at Fenway Park. Jerry Howarth joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Jeff.
That was quite an inning last night, to say the least. It was, and here I was. I thought that the big offensive moment we would be talking about, and I'd still like to talk about it, is John Gibbons turning Ryan Goins loose in that 3-0 pitch in the fourth inning and the two-run single. I'll talk to you about that at some point, but John, that offense, look, for a team that doesn't have three of its everyday players in the lineup. To send 14 guys to the plate and score 9 runs in an inning is pretty impressive.
Well, it certainly was, and it was fun, first of all, to see Melky turn around and hit a home run batting right-handed after he hit one batting left-handed. You don't see that too often now that Roberto Alomar hasn't played for the Blue Jays for a lot of years. And then to take a look at everybody scoring in the inning except one, and that was Reyes, and he had a sacrifice fly. It was one of those innings where you look back and you think, that's the second time already this year the Blue Jays have had 9 runs in an inning. And you know, in the major leagues, that's been done only once combined by the other 29 teams. So it's a testament to, even at the All-Star break from that point to now, the Blue Jays have the best average in the major leagues, hitting well over 300. They have the most doubles, the most hits, and that's why they're 7-3 and right now pushing Baltimore here 2.5 back.
Jerry Howarth joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. What did you make of Ryan Goins' contribution last night? Again, beyond John Gibbons giving him the green light on that 3-0 pitch, which to me, you know, the next time somebody tries to tell you that John Gibbons doesn't do anything during the game, I'm gonna refer to that at bat, because if you've watched a lot of baseball, Jerry, you know the huge significance of that. When you give a guy that type of leeway and he comes through for you, like, honestly, I've been around guys, there is nothing, and you know this as well as anybody, there's nothing that helps a young hitter's confidence more than the manager showing faith in him and him coming through for the manager.
That's right. And I've always liked Ryan from the first time I met him.
Yes, you have.
Sometimes you gauge a player by how they speak to you, how they connect with you. It has nothing to do with baseball. Ryan is a real smart young man, and he can play. He's also one who can be demoted to Buffalo and still play and work his way back. I love that about him. But in that situation there in the fourth inning, I don't think anybody expected a 3-0 pitch that was going to be swung at, and especially Clay Buchholz. And so John Gibbons says, Ryan, go ahead. I already saw you get a base hit off him in the second inning. Do it again. And, of course, with a drawn-in infield, it's an advantage for a hitter anyway. Love to see that. Ryan, from the time he came back, Jeff, from the Buffalo team after the All-Star break, you see him at second base, and immediately you see the team get better, turning double plays, making plays right, left, in, back. It doesn't matter. And so now when he gets a 4-hit game, all of a sudden his numbers swell, too, from where he's been regarding his average. But his confidence has always been there. It's never waned. He's always worked hard at his game in Buffalo or in Toronto. That was huge because it doubles the score right there, and it pushes Boston that much further back. What's he do after that? Doubles home a run, gets another hit, drives in another run with a ground ball. He's here to stay and play second base.
Jerry Howarth joins us on the Jeff Blair Show, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Jerry, I'm going to ask you the same question I'm asking the callers, and I know there's, you know, there's a number of factors here, but I from the start of the year to now, I think Melky Cabrera has been this team's most consistent hitter, along with Jose Bautista. But I think Melky's been the most consistent hitter. He's been the spark plug for a lot of things that have happened with this team. We know he's a free agent at the end of the year. What is your sense of where the Jays stand with him?
Well, I think, first of all, Alex is looking to play this out as much as he can. And in my opinion, they're one starter away from finishing this off the way they want to. And I only say that because of Drew Hutchison and the number of innings. Mm-hmm. And I don't see him being that much of a factor in September, and especially October when the Blue Jays get there. So I think one more starter is what you need right now. Valencia's going to be okay. I saw, you know, he had 3 games against the Blue Jays with the Royals. I don't believe he had a hit. He struck out a lot. But it's a deal. But I think, as Casey Jansen mentioned, they need Alex to bring somebody into that clubhouse where I think if it's a starter, now everything looks pretty good. But overall, when you take a look at this team right now, this is a team that is moving forward in the right direction. They're playing together. They've got a lot of ability right now, and I see them just getting more confident all the time. Regarding Melky and where he sits with the Blue Jays, I think regarding Casey Jansen, all the rest of them, that's a hard call for any of us to make. But for Melky, because he had the tumor last year, right that year off, but now that he's healthy, look what he's done. He's an integral part of this team, and when you look at leadership, he leads in his own quiet way. Second most hits in the majors. He walks. He did that yesterday and scored a run. His defense has been impeccable. So for me, they have to look at keeping him, because even for another couple of years, that's what they signed him for, a 2-year deal, he'd be an asset to this team.
Now, you talked about Danny Valencia. Of course, Alex Anthopoulos making a deal last night. Liam Hendricks and Eric Kratz sent to the Kansas City Royals. Hendricks will report to AAA. for Danny Valencia. Journeyman infielder, but a guy who has hit lefties. And as Alex says, he essentially gives us something, this is Alex talking, that we haven't had since Mark DeRosa was here. And, you know, you can imagine how John Gibbons will be able to use Danny Valencia. I like the pickup. It's an under-the-radar pickup. As I said, it gives John another option. But I guess the million-dollar question, or the, I don't know, how much is the waiver wire worth? The waiver wire question is, who goes down to make room for him?
Yeah, good question. It's probably going to be somebody, I would assume, in the bullpen. I don't know that for a fact. They're already at seven right there, so maybe that's not going to be where they go. But I do see that Ryan Goins is staying. Munenori Kawasaki cannot go back. He's been invaluable to this team. And if you're going to make a move, I'm going to look probably at someone like Steve Tolleson. If you're going to bring in a right-handed hitter, maybe they just feel that Valencia adds a little bit more against left-handed pitching than Steve. He would probably be a choice. I'm not sure about Nolan Reimold. I know he's been here. He's been hurt, and he's back. We haven't seen a lot of him. Probably Reimold, Tolleson, somewhere in that area.
How about Dan Johnson?
No, I think Dan Johnson, for me, his presence already has been felt here. His plate appearances, ability to get key base hits, can play first base. You don't have a first baseman right now. Bautista comes in there. So Dan Johnson is one possibility, sure, left-handed hitter. But for me, I like his presence on the field, in the clubhouse, in the dugout, and on the field as well as at home plate. He's a pretty valuable commodity right here, and he's already had some big swings for the Blue Jays and some big walks, too, that he's drawn.
Jerry, what challenges will Marcus Stroman face tonight facing the same team he faced, what, 5 days ago, and throwing a one-hitter through seven innings?
Honestly, I don't think it'll be that much of a challenge looking at it that way, because this will be the third straight start since the break in the same series he's followed RA, and there's always an advantage to doing that. And then when you're as good as Marcus is and throwing as hard as you do and commanding all of your pitches, two stints of seven innings apiece, he's not allowed to run. I think it's the Red Sox who have the challenge, not so much Marcus here, because of what Marcus has done. And following RA, seven innings, one run, three hits last night. Marcus Stroman, too, with his innings pitch, which is down a lot more considerably than right now, Drew Hutchison, even though Marcus has been in Triple-A Buffalo, I think him. I see him overall as not being a problem or an issue going down the stretch and into a playoff scenario. So, no, I think he's a going concern right now.
Buck and Pat Tabler both called last night's game a statement game for R.A. Dickey. I know you guys talked as well. I heard a bit of the broadcast. You guys talked about how important, obviously, this was. This was almost the type of, we've gone back and forth about whether or not RA is an ace or who the ace in this team is, but this was kind of the type of start you needed from an ace, wasn't it?
It sure was. You get into a situation like this, and the last time the Blue Jays were here, they scored three in the first, and then Boston scored three in the bottom of the first inning. So that pretty much put a little tenure on where they were going right here, too. So the Blue Jays scored two in the first, and what does RA do? He has a 1-2-3 first inning. And one of the problems he's had this year is those shutdown innings where the team has scored for him, and then he's pretty high in Major League Baseball regarding pitchers giving up runs in that very next half inning. Didn't do it yesterday. In fact, 6 up, 6 down, 9 out of 10, and 12 out of 13. That was very impressive, especially with the run support given to him. R.A., he's unpredictable. There's no question about that. But 10 strikeouts, one walk, that said that he wants to be in the playoffs. He's already talked about that a month and a half ago when nobody was really thinking about the playoffs that much. And that's his goal. That's his mindset right now. So let's go with that unpredictability towards the predictability of trying to get to the playoffs and him being a key part of that. And one other factor, too, here regarding Alex Anthopoulos, and you know, just a thought you have, regarding making deals, it's hard for the fans to say, well, why not make a deal right now? And even for all of us, why not a pitcher? Why not this? Why not that? But you have Dickey and Burley, your two starters who are getting older. Dickey's 39 and Burley's 35. Now you have Marcus Stroman. You have Aaron Sanchez right here. You have Drew Hutchison. There are some untouchables because of those two aging pitchers who are not going to be around much longer, and you can't afford to give any of them away because not only for this season, but for the seasons to come, you have to replace two starters very quickly.
Jerry, it was good of you to join us today. It should be another fun night tonight at Fenway Park.
Well, who would have thought coming in here the Blue Jays would win all four games here at Fenway Park?
And wow.
have all kinds of home runs, and it's been fun to watch, but not so much fun for the Red Sox fans, that's for sure. But, hey, they've had their moment. They won their World Series rings, and that's what the Blue Jays are trying to do.
Absolutely, Jerry. Thanks for this.
You're welcome, Jeff.
Jerry Howarth, the voice of the Blue Jays, joining us from Boston. So, again, tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan at Sportsnet. The Jays and Boston Red Sox, second game of a four-game series. The Jays 14-1. Winners last night. A 9-run inning, 14 batters to the plate. R.A. Dickey gives up 3 hits, 1 walk, strikes out a season high 10. All of the Jays' 9 starters reached base at least once. Melky Cabrera, you know, homered from both sides of the plate at 5 RBIs. That's 6 multi-hit games out of the 10 games post All-Star break for Melky Cabrera. The Jays are 2 games up in the Yankees and Mariners in the race for the final wild card. They are 57-50, 2.5 back of the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles face the LA Angels of Anaheim tonight, the start of their series. So a chance for the Blue Jays to continue to make some hay. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Want to focus on Melky Cabrera this morning. We'll have time to talk about Alex Anthopoulos' trade for Danny Valencia later, but, I mean, if you want to touch on that as well, now we can. John in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, John?
2 points. 1, I really want them to re-sign Melky, but they won't because they won't even suck up $2 million for Chase Headley or Houston Street.
Different, though. Different. I'm going to interrupt. Let me finish, and I'll let you finish.
Okay.
It's different because Melky's money next year doesn't count against this year's payroll. And next year, well, I mean, next year...
They're shedding a lot of salary, but, and I understand...
Yeah, they are. They're shedding. They can shed. Even if they re-sign Melky, they can still shed something in the neighborhood of $20 million. So the money next year isn't going to be the issue with Melky Cabrera, unless Melky wants $18 million bucks a year, in which case they ain't going to give him $18 million.
Nobody else will either, so that's kind of handy. But he's worth about 12 to 15 in my eyes. And he's a great player.
I agree. Okay. I agree.
All right. But and Jerry didn't touch on this, and I know he's a big Ryan Goins fan, as I am. What's going to happen when Lourie comes back? Is he going to kick my boy out of a job, or are they going to put Valencia on the bench?
I would. My understanding is they would put Valencia on the bench. I think Alex may have even said that yesterday. Long term, there's very much a chance that Brett Lourie could be at second base. But I think when he comes back, they'll put him at third. That's my read of the situation.
And
I'll tell you what, Ryan Goins is going to get some time at shortstop very soon. I can guarantee you that.
Well, that's one of the reasons
guaranteed.
I wanted him brought up, too, because you know what? Reyes can't play every inning of every game.
No.
And Goins can play shortstop. So yeah. I really like him. Yes, he was 4-for-5 yesterday, but it was a blowout. He's been hitting so much better. Been hitting that a bottom-of-the-order hitter needs to do, in my eyes. Bunting, moving runners along, not striking out too much. He's been good, like really good.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers against lefties aren't that great. They weren't at Triple A, but he's doing the job up here. And again, you know, the Jays are winning the way they won when they went on that roll in May. They're doing all the little things. They're doing all the smart things. I'm not saying playing small ball, but they're doing little things. They're executing, and Ryan Goins is very much a part of that. And so, frankly, is Anthony Gose. I like the way the bottom of this order looks on a lot of nights. And again, don't underestimate how huge that was in the fourth inning last night when John Gibbons gave Ryan Goins the green light in the 3-0 pitch and he drove in 2 runs. Don't underestimate how important that was and how important that will be in the development of Ryan Goins. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Join the conversation on Twitter. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. You can use the hashtag Blair Show. Steve in King City, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
thanks for taking my call. Right now, looking at next year, I think obviously they definitely need an outfielder. I'm not big on Kevin Pillar or anybody else in the minors. So if you can't re-sign Melky, which I still feel like they'll be able to do, because I don't want him or his agent to forget the fact if we gave him a chance after the PED scandal to come and play for a couple of years. So I'm hoping they consider that option. But I've always liked Nick Markakis, and I'm not sure how cheap he'll come. Probably not very. So, I mean, hopefully then you can dip into free agency and see what you can get in the outfield then. And just one other thing. I wanted to contact you on Primetime Sports for a quick question. I just feel like GMs are getting fired too quickly in baseball. Looking at the San Diego situation, Josh Barnes has gone after 2 years. Thanks for taking my call. I'll listen to what you have to say.
Yeah, no, I think there's some GMs that should be fired a lot quicker. I think, if anything, there's been less of a turnover in recent years for a variety of reasons. But no, I don't see that at all. I think that there are a variety of issues with Josh Burns, and there are a variety of issues with the San Diego Padres. A lot of that gets to ownership, and a lot of it gets to, I think, a pretty clear dysfunction on the coaching staff. I'll tell you what, I'm surprised there isn't more turnover in Major League Baseball than we've seen in recent years. Certainly this season. Tom in Waterloo. You're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning, Jeff.
Morning.
The money's right in center field in Rasmus.
Yep.
So I truly believe that maybe Melky will return the favor to Alex, because Alex did him a favor, remember?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Both Shai Davidi and myself spoke to Melky's agent, Sam and Seth Levinson, at the winter meetings in, where was it? It was in Nashville, I think. And we talked to him, and this was actually David Wright had signed a new contract with the Mets, and it was after the news conference. They represent Wright, and Shai and I started talking to him. You know, and agents, I mean, you have to take everything agents say with a certain grain of salt, but they were well aware of the favor that Alex Anthopoulos did them at the time. Now, I'm not saying they're going to tell Melky to sign for another $8 million, but you're right. I mean, conservatively, if Alex Anthopoulos wanted to, he could cut $45 million off the payroll at the end of this season just by not exercising options. And,
yeah,
you know, and that's even allowing for Jose Reyes' $6 million raise.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's got room. He's got room to re-sign Melky. And, again, it's got nothing to do with them being tight for money this year. It's totally different. It doesn't come out of this year's budget. But you're right.
I think Melky likes it here too, Jeff. I think he likes a few of his teammates.
He does like it here. He's very comfortable here. You talk to people in the clubhouse about Melky, and it's pretty clear that he's become an important part of the clubhouse dynamic, and he likes the coaching staff. And Melky's not an idiot. He's smart enough to realize that in this ballpark, I don't know if there's been another hitter more tailor-made for this ballpark. Carlos Delgado was one. I mean, this ballpark has helped resurrect Melky's career, and I think Melky's smart enough to realize that this is probably the best place for him. Now, again, the question is, how much do you give him? I would, if he re-signs for and wants to re-sign for $12 to $15 million, someplace in that range, I would do it in a heartbeat.
And I think that may be coming. But
yep, I appreciate the call,
honestly,
Tom.
Do, Jeff. Yep, take care.
Yeah, and you know, Colby Rasmus is gone as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if I have to make the choice between the two of them, Colby's going to cost me probably again, 12 to 15. If I have to choose between the two of them, that's the easiest choice. That's the easiest choice I've had to make as Blue Jays general manager if I'm Alex Anthopoulos. Eddie in Fort Erie, welcome back from holidays.
Thank you, Jeff.
How was it?
It was great.
Good.
I had an opportunity to talk to a lot of fans about David Price, and I saw a couple of Jays games in the afternoon, including the one where they won the game in New York on Saturday for the first time in 17 games. I was
nice.
Thrilled.
Nice.
I think, you know what, if the Blue Jays sign Cabrera, I'll be very happy with it, but they also have to have a plan B in mind, because I think everyone around the league has taken a good look at Cabrera, being like, wow, he's really, you know, rejuvenated himself to the way that he was until he got to the PEDs in 2012. And I think he also has to consider who gave him a chance in the big leagues, in the Blue Jays. And if he resigns with them, good. And if he doesn't, we'll have to look outside the organization. And as far as the Valencia trade goes, I actually heard about it on my way into Buffalo. And it's not the infield I was hoping for, but you know what? Since he can hit left-handed pitching, I'll be okay with that.
Yeah, and I'm not entirely unconvinced that may be the end of it. I know that Alex is looking for starting pitching. I know that he's looking for relief pitching as well. I think he probably thinks he can address relief pitching at the deadline or in August, but I don't know about that starting pitcher, and I really don't know about the position player. I think this may be as good as it gets as far as position players go.
Oh, yes, definitely. And the fact that, you know, they need help with left-handed pitching, and guys that can hit left-handed pitching in Valencia can do just that, but I'm just hoping that this is not it.
Yeah, well, I think you, Eddie, and a lot of other people, I think a lot of people will be disappointed if this is the only move Alex Anthopoulos makes. It certainly appears to be a payroll-neutral deal. You know, and the optimist will say, well, Alex is keeping his powder dry, and the pessimist will say, keeping his powder dry. He has got no powder. Rocky and Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I think the Jays will end up signing Melky Cabrera. It's just, I don't think they'll do it during the season. I think they'll do it most likely in the offseason. And on top of that, I think you're right about the shedding salary, because I don't think that Colby Rasmus will be back. And I could see Dalton Pompey start, I don't think in the beginning of the next season, probably in the middle.
Wow.
And I think, and that's my guess, because he's already in Double-A, right? So
yeah, but everything I've heard is he's at least a year away. He needs a full
right,
he's
right.
a guy
yeah,
who needs a full year in Triple-A.
It won't be in the beginning of the season. It'll probably be in mid-season to late season, in my opinion.
Wow.
Well, that's my guess.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if he's up here mid-season next year, then this team's in big trouble. Then something's happened. Somebody's been hurt or they're in last place.
But yeah, they do. I don't think Rasmus will be back, but they need to find somebody to fill in that void. But I'm sure they'll sign Cabrera, that's for sure, because of the chemistry that's going on for the Blue Jays especially. So that's what I believe, but it's too early to say right now, right? So,
Rocky, I appreciate the call. You'd like to think the chemistry, such as it is, would have a positive impact on Melky Cabrera, although it has been my experience that the greatest or the aspect of chemistry that most interests professional athletes is the chemistry they get every 2 weeks when the paycheck comes in. And I don't care if the team's Nirvana. If you're a player and you can get $3 million a year someplace else, you and your agent are going someplace else. It's that simple. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We'll get to your tweets. We'll get to your calls. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All my friends know the low rider. The low rider is a little higher.
Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports will join us at 10 o'clock. We will talk a little more about the Jays' acquisition of Danny Valencia and take a look at the trade market. We are just a couple of days away from the Major League Baseball non-waiver trade deadline. We will, of course, have you covered here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Robert in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Robert?
Good morning, Jeff. I'd like to ask you a question about the Red Sox, because the same question could be asked about the Jays, and it's this. Do you believe it's bad general managing in Boston or bad ownership that's causing the team to go from first to last?
Well, it isn't bad ownership. They won a couple of World Series. You'd probably take that ownership here.
John Henry obviously approved the offering Lester a $70 million contract, which is a total insult.
Right.
So is it him or a bad general manager?
No, I think more than anything else, I wouldn't say a bad general manager. I think maybe a general manager that put too much faith in the lightning in a bottle that worked last year. And I'm thinking of, you know, of guys like Nava and Shane Victorino and players like that, you know, and some of their, I mean, they won last year making good moves in the bargain end of the free agent market. They tried it again this year with AJ Przinski. It didn't work out. I think more than anything else, it's some bad decision making by the GM, but I certainly don't think it's ownership. The John Lester thing, I have to admit, I don't get the situation with John Lester. He's a guy you've developed. He's, from all accounts, a pretty good clubhouse citizen. He's a guy who has been able to pitch in that market and put up with all the BS in that market, and you're lowballing him? I have no idea what that is about. I really don't.
So do you think that came from the general manager or the owner?
Oh, I think that came from the general manager. I don't think it came from the owner. I mean, John Henry's never been shy about spending money.
He got rid of $250 million 2 years ago.
But I mean, a lot of that $250 million was useless.
That's true.
You know, Josh Beckett, Carl Crawford, they haven't exactly set the world on fire. So, I mean, I think, look, the Red Sox, this is the way the Red Sox operate. I mean, the Red Sox are a big market team, but they spend a lot of time looking for value. I mean, they're in a lot of ways as much a money ball team as Oakland. They just don't. You know, they just don't write books about it. Don and Whitby, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
First, with Melky, I think it's imperative that the Jays actually resign him. Much like the Raptors with Kyle Lowry, it would send a terrible, terrible message to the fan base if they didn't re-sign him. And I think it would turn a lot of people off. But the other question I had for you is, as I was listening to all the callers over the last hour, a lot of people talking about, you know, that you can't send Goins down, and even Jerry was talking about, well, Kawasaki's here to stay. And I'm looking long-term, thinking when everyone gets healthy, there's only four spots on the bench, and three of them are kind of already guaranteed with the new trading for Valencia. He's probably going to stay on the team. Then you've got Toley as the backup catcher. I don't think Francisco's going anywhere, so that leaves one spot, and it has to go to an outfielder, so I assume Ghost or somebody will stay, which means Kawasaki has to go down, Goins has to go down, and some of these guys are going to have to go through waivers. And so the question is, do you do that now, or do you wait, you know, another couple of weeks and are forced to do it when you know, Lind and Edwin and the rest of them come back?
I mean, I hate to say this, but, you know, at this point in time, I don't know when Edwin's coming back. He's had a setback. I don't know if he's going to be back in a month. Nobody does. I mean, you'd like to think he would, but one of the aspects of this deal that kind of gave me some pause is you almost get the sense that Alex doesn't expect Brett Laurie or Edwin Encarnacion back anytime soon. So, you know, with all due respect, that long-term decision, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. Right now, I got to win games. I'm not going to make a decision now based on what may or may not happen. Until Edwin Encarnacion is in the lineup and playing every day, until Brett Laurie's in the lineup and playing every day, I've got a need for all of these guys. I mean, to me, the obvious move is you send Rob Rasmussen down. He pitched a couple innings last night. You're not going to use him tonight. You've got Cecil. You've got Loop. That, to me, is the obvious move, and I go with the loaded bench. I mean, poor John Gibbons. John Gibbons has spent 90% of his managerial career shorthanded in terms of having a bench player. Now he's going to be in a position where he's going to have an overabundance of bench players, but that's where I see this going. And Jerry's thought that maybe it's Steve Tolleson going down, that makes a certain amount of sense, although I like what Tolleson brings to the table as well.
That's where I was leading with the question is, do you think at some point the Jays are going to go to a six-man bullpen? Because, I mean, they've never done it in the past last
no.
couple of years.
You mean on a full-time basis?
No. I mean, I'm talking, you know, once these guys are back where there's a month left in the season, it's something
might.
To look at.
They might. If you're getting six innings out of every starter, then maybe you do that. But again, let's keep in mind that part of that bullpen right now is a guy on an innings count in Aaron Sanchez. And a guy, Brett Cecil, who I'm told, I don't think he's got a serious injury, But there is something about Brett Cecil that the Jays are monitoring on a daily basis. And I don't see it as a serious injury, but I've been told that essentially, if you're John Gibbons, you check with Brett Cecil every day. So there's also that aspect to consider. But let me tell you this. I don't think Alex Anthopoulos has finished overhauling this bullpen at all. You heard yesterday that if he's healthy, Brandon Morrow is going to come back and pitch for the Jays out of the bullpen. I fully expect Alex to make one, maybe two additions to the bullpen, if not at the trade deadline, then after the trade deadline. I just think the bullpen we're going to see on August 15th is going to be vastly, vastly different than the bullpen we have right now. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Thomas and Angus, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, two comments about Melky. The one thing that I can't help but shake the feeling of is that it reminds me of the signing of Batista to the five-year deal that, oh, we're not going to sign him. And then quietly, more or less out of the blue, he got it signed. And I think with Alex, when he sees someone he knows he wants, it's done and it's done quietly. So just the comparisons there. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, and I've never heard him brought into this, is the signing of Jeff Hoffman. And I know he's not thrown a pitch professionally yet, but does that allow Alex a little more flexibility in possibly giving up a Norris or a Sanchez for a high-end starter, knowing the fact that he's on, he's in the system, so to speak?
The problem is you're going to have to give up, to get a quote-unquote high-end starter, you're going to have to give up both Norris and Sanchez. Sanchez isn't going to get the deal done by himself. Neither is Dalton Pompey. So that's a big issue. And as Jerry pointed out, and I think it's something we need to keep an eye on going into the deadline, R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley are getting older. And yeah, and nobody's saying that Mark Burley's going to wear down and that his arm's going to fall off. But you know what? At some point, he's going to stop pitching. And you'd like to think that the fact he throws a knuckleball means that R.A. Dickey would be less susceptible to issues with age. But right now, if I've got Stroman, Sanchez, and Hutchison, you know, Alex made a point very early in his tenure that he wanted to have an assembly line. In other words, he wanted to have pitchers who were ready to replace pitchers. He wanted to have everything spaced out so that you didn't run into a situation where you had five guys ready for the majors or four guys ready for the majors, four guys knocking at the door, and you've got a backlog. I would be surprised at this point. And I'm one of those people. Look, I would trade. If I can get the right starting pitcher, I would trade Aaron Sanchez. If I can get a guy with a major league track record and only 2 or 3 years service time, I would trade him. But that isn't happening. So I think right now you're looking at Stroman, Sanchez, Hutchison, Norris as a very important part of the future and the immediate future. And by immediate, I mean next year. Brian and Milton, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good, sir.
Listen, I have every confidence that the Jays will sign Cabrera, and I think that the internal pressure is a strong word, but as a partial season ticket holder, I look in that bench a lot during the season, and I see what my dad likes to call the Samba corner. All the Latino fellas down at the one end there, Batista and Encarnacion and Reyes and Francisco, and they're all just having a blast down there, and they really look like they're having fun playing the game. And I appreciate what you're saying, that, you know, chemistry comes every 2 weeks at the pay window, but it just seems to be such a tight group there that I think Melky will want to give Alex every chance to try and sign him. I mean, obviously, if they decide to lowball him like the Red Sox are doing to Lester, that could be a problem. But if they offer him ballpark money, I believe that they should be able to make that happen. A question I have for you is, if the Jays decide they can only sign one of Cabrera and Jansen, which way would you go? Jansen's been such a stabilizing force down in the bullpen this year. It would be a real blow to them to lose Jansen. Now, what would you do?
Now, that is... that's a tough decision. I would probably go with Casey. As much as I love what Melky's done, I would probably go with Casey. And as much as I know that people tend to overvalue closers, I've just seen it enough from him that I would if I had to make that choice, I would swallow hard and go with Casey and then try to find the offense elsewhere. But it would be a hard choice. Ideally, I'd re-sign both of those guys and then do what I have to do to make it work. It's a tough question. It's a tough call. I would ask myself, what do I have a better chance of replacing? And given this team's lack of success finding closers, well, let me rephrase that. Given the difficulty teams have finding closers, guys who can close games on a consistent basis, I'd probably go with Casey. Although I know some numbers person is going to call me up and tell me I'm over-evaluating him. That's entirely possible. Because I admit it's a tough decision to make. Brandon Gervais on Twitter, do you think Melky re-signing will have to do with how the Jays end their season? No, I don't think so, Brandon. I think both sides know the pluses and minuses of being here or not re-signing the guy. I don't think it has anything to do with that. Patrick, you remember the Yan Gomes trade? Oof. Yeah, this Kratz move is the same thing. AA doesn't value catcher defense and framing. That's an interesting discussion to have. It's a very interesting discussion to have. Ashley in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good, man.
I called in before, second time, so it's great to be on. Just thinking about starting pitching, and I was thinking about Bartolo Colon. I think he's cheap, $9 million. He's got a great arm. I know he's old, but, I mean, what are you going to get at this point? People talk about Hamels and all that. I mean, they're way overvalued.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be some potential there. I was wondering if you'd like to opine on that.
Yeah, I mean, I would take him. I would think you might be able to get Bartolo Colon after the deadline on one of those August waiver deals. But Bartolo Colon, A.J. Burnett, I think you're more likely to get pitchers like that if you're the Blue Jays than the Cole Hamels or the David Prices. I just don't see that. And again, I don't see David. I don't know why the hell the Tampa Bay would trade David Price. But if you're the Jays, I think you've got a better chance of getting a mid-tier guy like A.J. Burnett. Or Bartolo Colon. You know, people are going to roll their eyes, roly-poly Bartolo Colon. I take Bartolo Colon. I'm not saying he's going to be the guy I'm going to build my staff around going forward, and he does make your staff a little older. But if I don't have to give up one of my core pitchers to get him, sure, I'd do that deal. Absolutely, I'd do that deal. I just think the value that the Mets place in Bartolo Colon right now is probably a little more than the Jays are willing to pay. And as I say that, I'm watching Bartolo Colon pitch on the MLB Network in those awful camouflage uniforms. Yeah, it's like having an acid flashback watching him move around in that uniform. Jeff Passan is a national baseball writer for Yahoo Sports. He's one of our favorites, and he's going to join us. We'll talk about the latest chatter around the league. We'll talk a little bit about the Danny Valencia deal. The Jays trading Liam Hendricks and Eric Kratz for Danny Valencia, and we'll take your calls. Do you think this is all Alex has up his sleeve, or are you expecting more from the general manager? All that ahead on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.